Well, I'm glad to see you all here this morning and look forward to our study this morning. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. We're going to pick up our study this morning in verse 18. And Lord willing, we're going to cover down through verse 26. We'll see how far we get here this morning. So I'd like to have somebody, if they would, volunteer to read John chapter 14, verses 18 through 26, and then someone else to volunteer to read verses 27 through the end of the chapter. So going once, going twice, 18 through 26. Don't make me come out there. Okay, Linda will do 18 through 26. And then 27 through 31. Okay. Linda, you want to start?
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you left me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded. So that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go up. Rise, let us go from here.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, it is with such a full heart that we come to you this morning, rejoicing in the salvation that is ours, rejoicing in the Word of God, rejoicing in the Spirit of God who is the teacher. And only He can teach the Word of God. Only He can open hearts. Only He can open eyes and ears to see and understand. And I earnestly pray this morning that you, by your Spirit, would teach us what you would have us to glean from this passage and profit from it, so that we would live lives that are focused and full of you. May you bless and guide and direct us this hour, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to kind of talk about the scenario that we have in this. This, of course, timing-wise, is just at the conclusion of the Last Supper. Judas has been dismissed. He is no longer with them, so the disciples that are being addressed here, the apostles that are being addressed, are the 11. And that group of apostles, the 11, will not become 12 until the apostle Paul is chosen by the Lord later on in the book of Acts. And so the situation here is they have had the Last Supper, they have had the communion event. Jesus has introduced brand new teaching. He has told them again and again that he is going to leave them. And as it started out in John chapter 14, because Jesus had told them again, and I think it finally began to click with them, that Jesus was leaving, they were troubled. And so John 14, verse 1, starts out how? Let not your heart be troubled. So he is speaking directly to those 11 apostles. Their heads are swimming. He has just told them that one of them is basically going to betray him. He is going to leave. They don't have any idea what's going on. And they're really befuddled. And so that's the background of this passage. And we have worked our way down through John chapter 14 all the way down to verse 18. So we start out this morning and we read John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. He just told them, I'm going to leave you. But then he turns around here in this verse and says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That word is used basically of the fatherless. I am not going to leave you without the father. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. I love that verse, because I live, you also will live. Let's take a look at some of the references here. What does Jesus promise the 11 apostles? The first question on your sheet, verses 18 and 19a. Would somebody look up verse 28 and read that, and someone else turn to chapter 20 and read verses 11 through 30, and then someone else look up chapter 21 and be ready to read verses 1 through 25. 14:28.
You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
So when he says I'm leaving, their heart is grieved because he's leaving. And what does he say?
You ought to be
happy that I'm leaving, because what? I'm going to my Father, and my Father is greater than I am. So he's teaching them again. Chapter 20, verses 11 through 30.
But Mary was standing outside the tomb, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in whites, sitting one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things. How far am I going?
That's good. So what you see in that verse, of course, is the fulfillment of what Jesus had just said. The world is not going to see me, but what? You are going to see me. And that's, he's talking to the disciples, and Mary, of course, is not one of those apostles, but she is the first one to see the Lord, and she is sent to go back and tell the apostles, and the rest of that is recorded in verses in chapter 20, and then in chapter 21. I'll just skim through this. After these things, Jesus manifests himself again to the disciples. Now, you can search through the scriptures, and what you're going to find is that Jesus, after the resurrection, spent 40 days with his apostles, but he did not reveal himself physically in his resurrected body to anyone but the disciples and those believers. Exactly what he said here. The world will see me, what? No more, but you will see me. Now, when he talks about the world not seeing him, he is talking about physically, like I can look and see Jerry. That kind of seeing. Jesus is saying, the world is not going to see me anymore. Now, there is a point where the world is going to see Jesus, and we're going to talk about that. And there is a sense in which when the world sees Jesus, it's over. It's over. When he comes back, it says, every eye shall behold him. And they're going to crawl into the cave, they're going to crawl in the rocks, and they're going to cry out, let the mountains fall on us because he's come back. So when the world does see him, it's over. And in the meantime, the world does not see him, but the disciples did see him. Now, as we go through this chapter, there's this aspect of the words that are given here in John chapter 14 that are very interesting and frankly controversial. It is difficult. Some of these words that Jesus speaks, we know, are expressly and uniquely and only to those 11 disciples. But there are other words that are there, other things that Jesus teaches that are reinforced in the rest of the New Testament, so we know when Jesus spoke them, he had more than just the apostles in mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some things that are to all of us as believers, there are other things that are just to those 11 disciples. We'll have to be alert as we read through this. So the first question focused on verses 18 and 19. The world will see me no more, but you will. And then those last words there, because I live, you shall live also. So the gospel truth that Jesus teaches next, after he teaches that you're going to see me, but the world won't see me. And at this point, the disciples still don't know. They haven't got this put together yet. And they won't truly get it put together until after the resurrection. Then the pieces are going to start falling together. The Holy Spirit is going to teach them. And they're going to look back on this and say, oh, yeah, that's what he meant here. What gospel truth does Jesus teach next? Look at the last part of verse 19. And what is the last part of verse 19? What does Jesus teach the 11 next?
Because I live,
what?
You will
live also. Now, could he have said those words when Judas was still there? No. Do you understand? We talked about back there in the Last Supper, we talked so much about when Jesus dismissed Judas. The dialogue between Jesus and the 12 shifted dramatically when he dismissed Judas. After Judas left, it was family. Understand? It was family. All of the 11 were believers. They were his. And that's why he could teach all these things and be absolutely clear about that. He was not going to teach these to Judas. Judas had no part in these. But in this one, in verse 19, he says, because I live, you shall live also. Now, I don't know about you, but I love those words. I love those words. Now, this is a case where the words that he speaks are directly to the 11, the 11 apostles, but they have a much broader meaning. Do they not apply to us? Absolutely. And we know that because of the New Testament. We can look at some other verses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. And someone else look up Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. And someone else look up 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. So let's see how these words are amplified in the rest of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15, 20.
But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep.
So Christ has been raised from the dead, but he is the firstfruits, which means what?
There's more coming.
And Colossians 3, 3 through 4.
For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
Yep. So he is our life. He is in us. And when he appears, we're going to appear with him. And that's exactly what he said back here to the apostles. Because I live, you will what? You will live also. How long is he going to live?
Forever.
How long are we going to live?
Forever.
And all God's people said, amen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
So what the same writer as the Gospel, writing 1 John, the Apostle John, writes that we are in the Father, and everything that he has is going to be part of us. We are going to live because of him. And Jesus has summed it up here, saying the world won't see me anymore, but you will. And because I live, you will live also, because we are in Christ. And these 11 apostles know, and we also, what will they know in that day? And that's in verse 20. So in that day, when they understand that Jesus lives, and therefore they're going to live, in that day, what will they also know? Verse 20. In that day you shall know that what?
I am in the Father,
and you are in me. Now see, that's a new teaching, is it not? This is a new teaching. This is something they had never understood before. Jesus doesn't say, you're going to be with me. Look at what it says. And you in me. But that's not all. What does it also say? I am in you. So you're in me, and I am in you, and I'm going to live, and because I live, you will live also. And I am in you, and you're in me. Do you see how all this fits together? We're going to... we can't possibly die because we're in Him.
He didn't mean it just for the apostles, but for us.
Well, yeah, he meant it. He was talking to the apostles, and you're exactly right, Bob. He didn't mean it just for them, but he also means it for us, and we know that because of other verses. In Acts chapter 2, we could read the whole thing, but somebody look up Galatians 2:20. And let's hear what Paul has to teach about this. Probably some of you have memorized this verse, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul is absolutely claiming the same thing, but he is claiming it for us. So when Jesus taught in John chapter 14, he was teaching this truth to the apostles, but Paul says, no, it applies to believers, all of us. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, Galatians 2:20 is a fascinating verse. We looked at this verse many, many years ago when we studied Galatians. When it says, I have been crucified with Christ, or I am crucified with Christ, it means literally that Paul said, when Christ was crucified, I was there, in Him. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I live is in Him. And so every one of these verses, passages, teach the same thing. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. Somebody read that for us.
Ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us.
So if anyone acknowledges that Christ has come in the flesh, he is of God. We can just find this truth is just prominent throughout all the New Testament scriptures. What does Jesus repeat regards loving him? Look at verse 21. In chapter 14, verse 21, it says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. So, look at chapter 15, verse 14, just across the page. In verse 15, chapter 15, verse 14, it says, "You are my friends if you what?
You
do what I command you." And look at chapter 16, verse 14. Just turn the page there. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. He is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal Christ to us. Does the Holy Spirit do that to the world?
No.
He only does it to believers. 2 John chapter 2 John verses 4, 5, and 6.
It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands.
So John is writing again, and he's writing to his little children. The term that he loves to use regarding the church, regarding believers, and he reiterates that command: if you love him, love each other, and obey him, obey his commands. One of the things that I enjoy about this class, I enjoy doing the teaching, obviously, but I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy seeing everybody here love each other. And you cannot be in this class very long before you realize how much love there is. We take care of each other. We are concerned for one another. We pray for one another. That's a mark of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He is the one who engenders that in us. Frankly, before I was saved, I could have sat in this class and care less about you. Truthfully. And that's basically because I'm rotten. And some of you said, yeah, I know. So here's the question that comes up next. Look at verse 22. Therefore you too now have... Whoops. Turn the page. Verse 22. Judas. There's another Judas in the apostles. This one is Judas, not Iscariot. And John is very careful to make sure that we know that. And Judas Iscariot has already what? He's already gone out to betray the Lord. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, here's a question. Now, Judas has been listening to all this, and he says, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Now, that is a logical question. He has been paying attention, and he has been listening carefully, and he says, Lord, in essence, how are you going to do this? How is it that we're going to see you, but the world isn't? How's that going to work? Good question, right? I mean, a good logical question from what Jesus has said. They don't understand exactly how this is going to happen. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And would somebody else look up Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. So, Matthew 24, 30.
And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory.
Yeah, so in Matthew chapter 24, which is part of the prophetic proclamations that Jesus makes throughout his ministry, he says very clearly, and this had happened before the Last Supper, and the apostles were there, they heard this, and they heard Jesus say, the Son of Man is coming, he is going to come with cloud, and so they're saying, hey, you said that the world is going to see you, and I don't understand, now you're saying the world is not going to see, so we don't understand how this all fits together. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7.
Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be.
So, in these passages where it talks about the world is going to see him, and the passage where Jesus is saying, the world will not see me, but you will see me, what's the difference here? What's going on? What is unique about Revelation chapter 1:7? When the world does see him, that is what? That's the end. That's the end. And of course the world is going to see him. They're going to see him as their judge and their, in essence, executioner. But before that, the world will not see him. Now, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, I'll just skim through this. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days, and what are the last days? We're here. We're in the last days right now. Scripture very clear on that. In the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, and through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire and kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So there is coming a day when the world, all those unsaved, will see him, but they will see him at the time of the final judgment. So when Judas says, how is it going to be that the world is going, that you have taught that the world is going to see you, but you're saying now that the world is not going to see you? And it was a logical question. He didn't understand exactly what was happening here. And the issue is, one is before the crucifixion, and one is after. One is after. After the crucifixion, the world doesn't see him anymore until the world sees him in total judgment. What is Jesus' answer regarding manifesting to us? If you look in verse 23, let's tie it back again to verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Well, the answer is, it hasn't happened yet, quite, but it's going, it's very close. And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and what? And dwell with him. So, you're going to see him, and this, of course, applies not only to the 11, but to everyone who has put their faith and trust in Christ from that point forward. We are going to see him because he is going to be in us. And what about those who do not love me? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And then the next verse is talking about verse 24. He who does what? He who does not love me does not what? Does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Have you noticed how many times Jesus keeps repeating that over and over and over and over again, all the way from John chapter 1 all the way through, and in fact we're going to find it even more. It seems like, and I never touched on this before going through the study of John, the whole Gospel of John this time. It just seems like it just jumps out over and over again. Jesus is so focused that everyone would understand that what he does because the Father told him to do it. What the miracles that he does, he says, I do this because the Father taught me. I want you to understand that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I and the Father are one. He taught this over and over and over again. And I don't think it ever clicked with me how important it was to Jesus that we understand that. And it's here again. He who does not, verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but what? It's the Father's. I mean, he just teaches this over and over again. The love that Jesus has for the Father is without bound. And we find in the scriptures that the love that the Father has for the Son is without bound. And the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and the Son. And those of us who trust Christ as our Lord and Savior are one with them. Amen. Amen. For those who do not love me, look at chapter 7, verse 16. And John chapter 8, verses 26, 27, and 28.
So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me.
Yep, there it is again. My teaching is not mine. He taught that clear back there in 7:16, 8, 26, 7 and 8.
I have much to say in judgment of you. He who sent me is reliable. What I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about our Father.
Yep, he was speaking, and he was speaking about the Father. John chapter 8, verses 39 through 47.
They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I have not even come on my own initiative, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God.
Yep, because you are not of God. And Jesus said, I didn't come of my own initiative. I came because the Father sent me. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to see, the world is going to see Jesus stand face to face with the Redeemer, the one who paid the ultimate price, and they rejected. Let's take a look at this next one, and we'll close with this next question. What promise is now given? Verses 25 and 26. I think in many ways, for me, verses 25 and 26 are one of the key verses in this passage. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now that in particular is addressed to the 11 apostles, because every one of those 11 apostles ended up writing these words we find here in the New Testament. But what is interesting is, in some cases you look at this and you think, well, how did they remember all that? And what does it say here? How did they remember all that? The Holy Spirit brought it back to their minds, brought it back to their memory. And I just want you to feast for just a moment here on verse 26, because I want you to understand, and I want you to be sure that you know that I understand this. The Lord has called me to teach, but I understand that I don't teach. Do you? That sounds like double talk. But I want you to be clear that verse 26 says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. He whom the Father, he will teach you all things. I don't teach you unless I am speaking the words of Scripture. I am not teaching you. The Spirit of God does the teaching. I can count so many times in this class, and I don't know, Neil, how many years we've been here, but it's been a long time. I have had people come to me after class and say, I was so touched by what you said about this passage. It really touched me. And I'm thinking, I didn't say that. You weren't listening to me. I didn't say that. But they were taught, when they read the Scriptures, they were taught by the Holy Spirit. And that's what counts, folks. I understand. I'm just have the privilege of presenting the Word of God. And to the extent that I do that, I'm teaching it clearly. But I want you to understand that when you grasp the truth, it is only because the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. You remember when Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, Who do people say that I am? And they said, John the Baptist, John. But who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you,
Peter, son of
Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father has revealed this unto you. Folks, when the truth is taught, the only understanding that comes is by the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate, and I really appreciate when people come up and say, you know, this lesson really touched me or whatever. It was really significant, as though I had something to do with it. I want you to understand, this word was written by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't understand it, you go to the Holy Spirit who wrote it and say, what does this mean? And He will teach you. If sometimes you got to dig, and sometimes He says you're not ready to understand that yet. You got to understand three or four more other things before you get there, but that's all right. Just keep asking. Knock, 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 and it shall be what? Open to you. I love the Word. And I love the Spirit of God who teaches the Word. And I just pray that He is teaching you daily. Let's pray. Father, it is with great thanksgiving in our hearts that we rejoice before You because of who You are, because of the incredible plan of salvation, the fact that Jesus came at Your request. He came and died at Your request, but He did so of His own will. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand the truths of these words as they were written by the Holy Spirit. Not as man would interpret, but as the Word of God interprets. And when we don't understand a certain passage, we know that somewhere else in the Word of God is a passage that clearly identifies the truth there. Help us to be students of the Word. Help us to hide this Word in our hearts. Help us to teach each other the truths of the Word of God. I do pray that should You tarry, You would use us in that time and bring us back together again to be encouraged by the testimony of the Millers, and then following that to come back again and pick up here where we're leaving off to study the Word of God. Thank You for everything You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.